God's going to get you through. Aren't you glad for that? Are you going through anything this morning? Boy, we all got a story, don't we? You know, each one of us have our own thing we're dealing with. You may have a smile on your face today, but behind that smile is a story to tell. I'm sorry, get these kids. It's noisy. It's a good thing. Behind our smile, we all have a story to tell. Something's going on. Well, that really cleared the church out. Good gracious. All these kids leave. Some of us are going through emotional issues or health issues, discouragement, fear of the future, marital problems, anxiety, whatever we're battling. And some of us are, you know, I told Melly, as life evolves, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You really don't. And what's good today may not be so good tomorrow in this life. But I'm glad that I know God's going to get me through, no matter what I'm facing. No matter what's going on, I know God's going to get me through. I got one verse I'm going to read, only one, then we're going to talk about it. This is Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, this is after Moses had died. And what I love about this story is Moses, as you remember, was called to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And he brought them out, and he got to the brink of the promised land. He wandered around for 40 years and finally got to the brink, but died before he got in. So when Moses died, did that mean that God's plan died? No. Does that mean God wasn't going to bring them through? No. Just because Moses died didn't mean God's plan was. God's plan says, I'm going to give you a promised land. I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. And he did. He raised up Joshua. The Bible says Moses, you know, the Bible says in Joshua that the servant Moses is dead. But Joshua, as I was with Moses, I am with you. My message will go on. My revelation will go on. My direction will go on. Just because Moses died doesn't mean what I said died. For my word cannot lie. My word is truth. My word is life. And my word will accomplish what I said it would, regardless of what vessel I use. Because the message is always more powerful than the messenger. Because the message goes on. Messengers die every day. Messengers die. They are buried and dead in the flesh. But the word of God is life to all who hear it. And the word of God will be raised up into some other vessel and it'll continue to go forward and flow because the message is powerful. And what God said has to come to pass. So he told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid or be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever you goest. Isn't that good news? That God is with us. So don't be dismayed by the battle you're in, because God's in the battle with you. Don't be afraid of what is to come, for you know what your future holds if Christ lives inside of you. So don't be discouraged when the enemy puts all this stuff around you and you feel surrounded, you feel suffocated, and you feel overcome. Understand who really is overcome, and that is Christ, the Holy One, who overcome death, hell, and the grave for you. And so we should not be discouraged by what we see. For the Bible says in Hebrews, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Faith in who God is, faith in what God said, faith in what His Word is. I'm amazed at the people that believe what's on Google or the internet or all these websites, but won't open these sacred pages and believe that's God's truth. We will believe a rumor spread at work before we believe John 3:16. We'll believe a lie from the devil before we believe a revelation spoken by God. This is His word. It cannot lie. It's infallible. It is undiable. It is unperishable. It goes on and on and on. No matter how many generations pass through this earth, the word of God remains. And when God says it, it is done to the end of time, to the end of the ages. And no war, no politics, no law, no generation can ever erase that or make it go away. It is what it is. For the Lord thy God has spoken it, and so it is written forevermore. The handwriting is on the wall. It is declared by God that it is what it is, and nothing can change that. Glory, that's good news. So God is with you. Give Him praise. He's with you through what you're going through. And he knows what you're going through. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you how it goes for me and Melanie. There's times it comes in waves. Comes in waves. It's like, my God, how much more can I bear? How much more can I take? Or if you want to be the sarcastic tone, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? God, really? It seems like it comes sometimes in waves. And you're like, Lord, I'm trying to serve you. I love you. I'm going to church. I'm trying to do the right things. I pray every night. You know, I'm trying to be a witness. I'm trying to be a light. I'm trying to love everybody when it's so hard to. Why, God? Why? See, the Bible never says that he'll remove the storm. He'll remove the cross. He'll just make the battle poof and go away. But he does promise us that he's with us wherever we go. He does promise us he won't leave us or forsake us. He does tell us that we're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. The Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ. The Bible is clear that he will be with us, that he is a present help in our time of trouble, and that he remains when others go. When other things happen, God's still there. When the storm's raging, doesn't mean God's not there. I used this story before, and I'll use it again, and I hate to because y'all have used it against me since I've used this story. Several of you have used it sarcastically against me, and it hurts my feelings, but I'll share it anyway. The story of when we had the bad storm when I was a little boy. And the wind was blowing, it was thundering, and the wind just scared me. I remember looking out my window and seeing the pine trees have my house bending over. It just scared me. Still don't like heavy wind. I think it did a psyche thing when I was a little boy. But I had, this wind was blowing. I got scared, so my mom come got me, and she had made some peanut butter cookies, and that was really good, homemade peanut butter cookies, the real deal, not these store-bought junk. And she made peanut butter cookies, and me and her sat in that hallway, because, you know, that was supposed to be the safest part of your house when a storm's at, you know, the hallway area, whatever. We're sitting in the hallway, and I'm eating cookies and got some milk, and she's sitting there beside me. Now, the point of my story is this. The storm didn't go away because I was eating peanut butter cookies and milk. All of a sudden, the wind just stopped because, ooh, Jamie's eating peanut butter and milk, so I must stop blowing. Ooh, it just stopped. No, it kept blowing, kept thundering, kept raining. But you know what? My mom, as a little boy, got me through the storm. And as I sat there, I knew I felt security. I felt peace. And I felt good that I peanut butter cookies. And I remember it took my mind off the storm outside because mom was on the inside taking care of me. Well, God's on the inside of us. And when the storm is blowing, we can still take confidence that, yes, the wind is raging outside, but the peace speaker, glory to God, lives on the inside. And the waves may be crashing on the outside, but God says, peace be still on the inside. And so I know God is with me. And he gets us through every single storm, whether it's cancer, whether it's divorce, whether it's bankruptcy, whether it's a death of a child, whatever you're going through or been through, God gets you through that storm and brings you out on the other side. We don't like going through the storm, but aren't you glad of this, that he don't leave you in the storm? Aren't you glad of that, that you're not stuck in this twilight zone of an eternal storm, but that the storm eventually passes because God passes you through it, and God gets you on the other side? It's like going through a tunnel, so to speak. You enter one of them tunnels in the mountains, and you go in it. Some of them's a couple miles long. You go in that dark tunnel, got the lights, you know, on, and you enter that tunnel, and you're going, and thank God, if you're like me and claustrophobic, thank God the other side is soon to be. That would be horrible if there was a wall dead end. Oh, my gosh. What do I do now? I can't back up to my car behind me. Oh, my! I'm trapped. Aren't you glad tunnels have two sides? You might throw through darkness for a while, but thank God when you come out the other side, out of Fort Pitt, there's Pittsburgh up on a hill with the light shine, the three rivers flowing. You're like, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm out of West Virginia, hallelujah. And so you're going through and boom. Sorry, Karina. And boom. You see the lights of the city. That's how God is. We go through some dark tunnels. We go through places we don't want to go, and we sure wouldn't pick them. And I don't care who anybody is, we question it sometimes. Because we think, God, I'm your holy servant. I'm a man or a woman or a child of God, full of the Holy Ghost. Why am I going through all this stuff? I didn't think it could touch me. Well, it does touch us. It touches all of us. The devil attacks all of us. Storms come to all of us. Battles come to all of us. Giants stand in front of all of us declaring who they are. They're not intimidated because, you know, we say we're Christians. What they are intimidated are the Christ that lives in us. That's what they're intimidated by. And that's what David said when he stood before Goliath. Remember, Goliath mocked David. Imagine this. I mean, really imagine this. It'd be like me standing in front of Shaquille O'Neal saying, I'm going to fight you. Now, everybody knows Shaquille O'Neal, 7'1", 300 pounds. Big boy. He'd take up four seats. I mean, big boy. And here I am before Shaquille O'Neal, and he laughs at me. Ha, ha, ha. Think you can make a free throw? I'm like, ha, ha, ha. What are you going to do to me? This is the best you got. I'm 7'1", 300 pounds. You send me this 5'11 guy, something pounds. Guess what you're going to send me? Really? That's what you got? And I look at Shaquille, and I say, Shaquille, I don't come with you to basketball. Because you're better than me at that, except for the free throw line. But you're better than me than that. I don't come against you with what you're good with. I come against you with what I know. And what I know is this, that the God in me is greater than the skill in you. That the grace of Jesus that lives inside of me is much more powerful than anything you have bearing on the outside. And so Shaquille O'Neal, I don't come against you with a dribbled basketball or try to slam dunk over you or block your shot. I come against you in the one thing and the one thing only that will take you down. I come against you in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. You must fall. And that's what happened with David. Goliath mocked him. This is the best you got, this little shepherd boy. He wasn't even a soldier. He was a shepherd boy. He was meek and mild, out taking care of the sheep and playing the flute. Doo-doo-doo. I mean, I don't know. Just a little meek guy. You know, I mean, he wasn't a fighter. He was a lover. Bathsheba proved that. He wasn't a fighter. He was a lover. And so here he is, and Goliath saying, laughing, Israel, this is what you give me? This little boy? This little young lad? I am Goliath. I'm your biggest enemy, and I'm going to destroy this nation. You send this little boy out. But David said, you know what? God will get me through this. I'm not afraid. You know why Dave wasn't afraid? Because Dave wasn't looking by sight. He was looking by faith. He saw God. And when you see God, he's much bigger than your problem and much bigger than your storm. When you look at God and not your problem, all of a sudden your problem is minimized and your God is maximized. Because you see, wow, God, you're so much bigger than what I've been whining about. You're so much bigger than what I've been worried about. You're so much bigger than what the doctors have told me. You are bigger than all those things. My Lord, your God, the same sun that you spoke when you said in Genesis, let there be light, is still hanging there, suspended in space, doing what you told it to do all them years ago. And that moon you said, let there be light by day and light by night, the same moon you spoke in Genesis, let there be light, is still there all these eons later, and your word has not failed. It's kept everything in place like you said it. Now, if God has done that, creation should teach us, if the stars are still hanging because God said it, the sun's still shining because God said it, the moon still is at night because God said it, the mountains still stand tall because God said it, and the seas roar at the name of Jesus because he said it. The tide comes in and out without pausing, without interruption, without stopping. It's a continual cycle, day and night, day and night, day and night, because God said, let the seas be created, and they have been created and stay there because of God's command. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. I don't care what church this is. This is good preaching. Glory to God. This is who God is, and he can get you through anything. Let's take the story of Moses. I'm going to give you some examples of how God got people through. Moses was given away. Remember that? Put in a little basket and pushed down a little river. Mama gave him away, not because she didn't love him, because she did love him. So she cast Moses away by faith, hoping he would be rescued. Sure enough, he was. He was rescued. He was trained. He was educated. Then he became a fugitive. He murdered one of his brethren and had to run. So now he's in the backside of the desert, tending sheep, running from the law, so to speak. And he walks by one day, and this bush is on fire, burning bush moment for Moses. And out of this fiery bush, the voice of God spoke and called out to Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. I've got a job for you. I've got something for you to do. You're going to go back to Egypt, and I've heard the cry of my people, and you're going to deliver them out of all those hundreds of years of slavery and bring them out. Me, Lord? Just little old me? Little old you, Moses. But Lord, I'm not a very good spokesman. Doesn't matter. I'm in you. Lord, I'm on the run from the law. Don't matter. I'm in you. He won't listen to me. Don't worry. I'm in you. Just do what I tell you. Moses went back, and we know the story. The 10 plagues came. He went to Pharaoh 10 times. Pharaoh kept saying, no, 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 no. Finally, 10th time, he did. Take everything. Leave. You're a menace. I'm tired of the frogs. I'm tired of the flies. I'm tired of the bloody water. I'm tired of the, gosh, just go. You're causing havoc. Leave and go. So he did. Then all of a sudden, Pharaoh's pride got in the way and his arrogance. What have I just done? I've released 2 million people or whatever, 2, 3 million people that was free labor. It's going to kill my economy. I've been showed up by this nobody. I'm Pharaoh. I'm going after him. So he chases him down. The law comes after him, so to speak. And they pin him between a Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh. And there they are in the middle. No escape, no way out. But God's going to get him through. Because in that moment, the wind blew. God's voice spoke. And the Red Sea parted. And they crossed over on dry land. And then the water came back down, consumed Pharaoh and all of his army, and destroyed them. God got them through. I think about Daniel and the great story of Daniel. Daniel was set up. Then he was sentenced to die. He was saved from that death and rescued, and then he was promoted. God closed the mouths of those lions for Daniel's sake. God got him through the pit. God got him through that dark night. God got him through a time when his body first hit the bottom floor. Them lions should have shredded him up and destroyed him, but they didn't. What tamed them lions? What calmed them lions' mouths? The hand of God. It got Daniel through. I think about Samson, the story of Samson, how he was called a Nazarene from his mother's womb and called to be a special prophet of God and a judge of God, and he was. But Samson failed many times, like we all do, and Samson had many weaknesses, and Samson broke every Nazarite vow he had taken. And here he was now, this great judge, this great prophet, who had carried the gate of Gaza up this hill 30-some miles on his back, who had took the jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 Philistines, who had done all these great feats. Here now is this great prophet. They had captured him because he told his secret of his strength and his hair. They cut his hair. He lost his strength. They captured him. They poked his eyes out. They put him in a grindstone as a circus animal to turn the grindstone. And they mocked him from above saying, here's this great judge. Here's this great prophet of God, the almighty God of Jehovah, the God of Jehovah. Here he is. Look at him. He's a circus animal swirling around, blinded and weak and can't do nothing. But then something happened. Samson said, I got to feel you one more time, God. I got to know you've not forsaken me, God. I got to know I'm still your servant, Lord. I got to know I'm still your child. And he asked the little boy to lead him to where the columns were, the building. And he said, Lord, paraphrasing, Lord, show these people who God is and strengthen me one more time. In the power of God, his blinded, captured condition brought that temple down. And the Bible says he destroyed more Philistines in that last act of his life than all the years he had lived. God got him through his blindness. God got him through his mockery. God got him through his humiliation and still showed glory. Each person we read about, God's glory was shown in these men and women. God got the glory. And that's what it's all about, is God getting the glory. God, you brought me through. I didn't do it myself. You did it for me. God, I didn't heal myself. You healed me. I didn't deliver myself. You delivered me. I didn't save myself. You saved me. God, it's all about you getting the glory. We see this person after person after person, how God got them through. Job, aren't you glad you're not Job? My Lord, Job is a depressing book. I remember we did a study on Job years ago on Wednesday night. I was going through it, and some of folks didn't like it. They got bored with it when we preached something else. And I think Pat was one of them, actually. She came to me and said, well, can we get off Job on Wednesday nights? But, Job had a very bad life. I mean, you think about this. The Bible says Job was a righteous man, a godly man. And the devil came to God and says, he only serves you because you bless him. Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? Would we still serve God if we thought he wasn't blessing us? I don't know. Something to think about. He only served because you blessed him. He's a rich man. He's got all this money, wealth, all this. That's the only reason. He says, I want to see if he really loves you. So what happened? The devil came against Job, destroyed his crops, which was his money, destroyed his family, He lost his children and then attacked his health. So here Job is, lost his kids, lost his income, and now has boils upon his flesh. Makes you pretty thankful this morning, don't it? And he's sitting there, and he's got a great supporting right arm wife. Curse God and die. Just curse God and die. I mean, really? Shut up, woman. Pretty much what he said. Keep your mouth closed. You don't know what you're talking about. No, you don't know what you're even saying. Well, in the end, what happened to Job? God restored him double fold. Blessed him double portion. God got him through the loss of his family. God got him through the loss of his money. God got him through the loss of his health and restored it all. God got, he didn't like going through it. None of us would want to go through that. And we question that. God, I don't understand sometimes why I'm going through this, why they can't fix me, why I'm suffering, why have you put all this on me? I can't bear it anymore, but God's going to get you through whatever you're bearing. God is going to bring you out of the tunnel to the other side, and you're going to see the glory of God. We have to take the ride we don't like, but you'll get there. Melanie hates car riding. She hates it. She'll fall asleep within an hour if I'm driving. Probably 30 minutes. Depends on where I'm going. She will fall asleep. She hates riding, hates driving. She just hates being on the road because I've always wanted to kind of go out west, I don't want to fly, I want to do like a road trip. I told her to take some Benadryl, knock her out for a couple days, we'll be there. But, I want to see it that way. And, we've been to Florida several times, and Florida's a very long drive, as you know. It takes a while to get to Florida. And the ride ain't always fun. You get tired, you get sleepy, you get behind slow pokes, you get behind stupid drivers. You get in traffic jams, you get pulled by a car. Things just happen. You don't like the ride, but boy, isn't it finally fun when you see the sign, welcome to Florida. Hi, I'm here. But then you still got a way to go depending on where you're going in Florida. But it's all worth it when you pull up and see that sign, welcome to Magic Kingdom. Mickey Mouse says, hello, boys and girls. Oh, that's all of a sudden those 600 miles that you drove of all that sleepiness and boredom and going through South Carolina, Georgia, where there is nothing but God's green country. I mean, nothing. You're just driving for miles and there's nothing. I mean, my Lord, you're not a gas station in South Carolina to go to the bathroom. I mean, there's nothing. You go miles and miles of nothing. But then you get that magical moment where you see the Magic Kingdom sign and you see the castle and you hear the music and you hear all of a sudden, after I wake Melanie up, the drive was worth it. We're here, honey. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I want to get there, though. the ride's not fun, but the end result is. You know what our end result is if we're Christians? The kingdom of God. Our ride is earth. And there's times in our ride we don't like it. We have good days. We have bad days. We have good seasons, and we have bad seasons. We have times of our life that we rejoice, and we have times that we're sorrowful. We have times that we're so happy with God, we're singing Doc's song. I'm happy with you, Lord. I'm happy with you, Lord. I'm happy with you, Lord. Are you happy with me? And then we have songs like, are you mad at me, God? Have I sinned too much, God? I'm going through such darkness, God. Just kill me, God. I mean, we have those days where we're laying there like, God, just take me on. I'm just ready to go home. If it's going to be like this, just take me on. And so our life's like a roller coaster. It's up and down. Good days, bad days. Good moments, bad moments. Good seasons, bad seasons. Whatever it is. Good years, bad years. Up and down. But all of a sudden, at the end of that ride, we end up at our destination where God says, welcome home, my well and favored, beloved, loving servant. Welcome home. You have arrived. And so the ride can be rough, but throughout the ride, my battery must be dead. My wife cued me microphone is off on the screen. So funny. I was like, what? Batteries are dead. Anyway, we may be having a rough ride, but God gets us through it. So what you're battling and what you're going through, I want to encourage you. Read your Word of God and see how God brought other men and women through their journey. The woman with the issue of blood suffered for, 12 years. I went blank. 12 years. 12 years. Thank you, Gail. 12 years. Suffered. Couldn't get anybody to fix her. Couldn't get anybody to heal her. Discouraged. Broke.
spend all of our energy, all of our effort, all of our joy, all of our hope. Aren't you glad that when you're hopeless, that don't mean there's not still hope? And when you're helpless, there's not still help? There is. This woman had lost all of her hope, but then she heard about Jesus coming her way. She said, you know, I've heard about this man, how he heals the sick and raises the dead and all this stuff, and maybe he can help me. If I can just touch him, if I can just get to where he's at and reach out and touch him. She pressed her way through the crowd. Now, remember this. She was going through a battle. She was a woman, a sickly woman, who had a blood disorder, who was considered by Jewish law unclean and unfit to be in public. So this was not, this. If you understand the context, it makes it that much more real of how important this woman was and what she did. An unclean, she was considered unclean and frowned upon. You know, kind of like you walk down the street and see somebody and going, That's how she was. But she said, you know what? I need to be healed. And I want healing more than I care about them judging me or looking at me the wrong way. She made her way through that crowd. She touched his garment. The Bible says virtue came out of Jesus. He turned around and says, who touched me? Simon said, Master, many are touching you. They're all around you. They're, you know, hugging you and patting you on the back. And, oh, Jesus, you know, many are touching you. What do you mean? Who touched you? No, somebody with faith touched me because I felt healing release out of myself. The woman was afraid. She spoke up because she didn't know what was going to happen. Remember, it's a different world back then. Women were considered second citizens. Master, it was me. Rise up, daughter. Your faith hath made you whole. And her blood was dried up. And her sickness was gone. 12 years she battled. 12 years she rode this out. But God brought her through. In the end, God brought her through. Let's not put God on a timetable. I don't like that. God's time is different than our time. And if we pray for something that don't happen by Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we're done. Shouldn't be that way. Well, I pray, Pastor, I've been praying for 2 years. Pray for 20 years. I remember Joe's story of his friend getting saved. Older Joe prayed for this man for 30, 40 years of his life. And in his 60s, he called Joe before he passed. He's gone now, right? He passed away. Before he died, he called Joe. He's up in his 60s. Joe, guess what? I got saved. Joe prayed for this man for years and years. He didn't get saved. He's in his 60s. Gave his heart to Jesus. We're not on, you know, God's not on our timetable, but he is on what's best for us. And that's what he knows. And so sometimes we endure seasons we don't enjoy, and they go way longer than we think God should allow. We're like, God, okay, that's enough. You know, any time now, I'm good. I've had my burden for the year. I've had my burden for the decade. You know, I'm good. But you know what? Paul prayed that prayer one time. Said, Lord, three times he prayed, take it away from me. And what did Jesus respond? He said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't take it away from Paul. We don't like hearing that. You know, we don't like hearing that. We like this all this, and I agree. We like this positive stuff of rah, 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 and that's good too. But you know what? There are times that we have a cross we just bear. But God gives us the strength to bear it. And it sure didn't stop Paul from preaching the gospel. It didn't stop Paul from building churches. It didn't stop Paul from converting people to Christ. It didn't stop Paul from ministry at all. Paul kept on keeping on, even with the burden he had. We can do a lot with our burden. You know, we can do a lot. You know, Melanie was very sick for many years. She said that Wednesday night. She told a little bit about what was going on Wednesday night, or shared a little bit. And for many years, she was very sick. Nobody really knew that in the church. And a lot of the symptoms she didn't have, and she didn't realize how sick she was because she wasn't showing or bearing those symptoms. And the doctors would say, I cannot believe you're not having this or this. Really, you're not feeling this or this? I said, no. And so even in Melanie's sickness and issue with her body she was having, God was giving her strength, his strength, to go through and function and endure. Because for 9 years, she's battled this. You think about the ministry, she's 13 years old. So this would have been like 4 years in the ministry. And God strengthened her. She didn't have all those stuff that other women have with what she was diagnosed with. And so, you know, I think about how through all that, God got her through it. God got her through it. And that's what he does for us. He gets us through it. For 9 years, she had this problem, and she wasn't healed. She still had it. But God got her through it day by day, month by month, year by year. God kept getting her through it to be able to function, be able to live. And that's what God does for us. You know, I think about you had so many health problems the last few years, the last 4 or 5 years, it's just boom, just come on you. But how God's grace is enough every day to get you through it. Every day is a new day. Every day you wake up is a new day. You know, Beulah was about lost a few weeks ago when 911 came to her house and she was unresponsive. And they had to work on her a while to get her back. And here she is today, walking in this church, because God got her through it. Because God ain't done yet. See, God ain't done yet. And we all got stories like that we can share where God got ain't done. My grandma had cancer a few years ago, and that's been, what, 6, 7 years now ago? So 8 years my grandma's been cancer-free. 8 years God healed her. You know? And here she is. You know why? Because God ain't done with grandma yet. Because God needs some grandmas on the earth. My Lord. And some grandmas in this church. And so God got her through that. It was a terrible time for my grandmother. She was in pain and so sick for so long and suffering for so long. But here she is and still going, because God got her through. I think about all the things God's brought me and my family through, things that were so overbearing at times and overwhelming that he just keeps on giving us strength. So I want you to take that with you today, that God's going to get you through what you're going through. It may be heavy. You may not like it, but God's going to get you through, and there's going to be a point you come out the other side, whether it's here on the earth and see it or whether it's in the kingdom of God and see it. But either way, you win, and you'll come out of the end of the tunnel and arrive at your final destination of victory and glory. God's going to get you through. Hang on, keep pressing, keep moving, keep believing, keep your eyes upon him, and don't give up, because he lives in you, and there is hope in Christ always. And that hope now lives in us. So you be encouraged, you be blessed. God's going to get you through whatever you're battling. You know, it's amazing. I know when Melanie lost her grandma and her stepdad within a 3-year period. Yeah, 2-year period. 2-year period. Lost her grandma in 08. Lost her stepdad in 2010. Two key people in her life that were vital to her childhood and her development. Vital. Her grandma and her stepdad. And she lost them within 2 years. And I really worried about her when that time would come, because I know how she felt about her grandma, Opal. And I really thought she might need some, I didn't know how she's going to be. She might need some help. I mean, she just really... And see, Melanie's grandma provided something in her life that she needed so bad at her time. She provided just something in Melanie's life that she needed and gave to her. And then her stepdad took her in as a little girl, what, 3 years old? Four? Oh, seven, sorry. Seven? Close. 7 years old, and raised her like her own. And actually, whenever he was in the Pittsburgh, you know, in the VA waiting on a transplant, he called Melanie and made her his, is it power of attorney? Health care. Power of attorney. Now, Dale had 5 kids, lived with him in Nebraska, 5 of the kids, and his wife. But it, and then 2 more out here, or you and another one. So, but he picked Melanie, his stepchild, and says, I want you to be my health care power of attorney, because he knew and believed she would do the right thing by him. And she did. She did all she could do by him. And you know what? When that happened, I look back and how God got Melanie through that storm. How he got her through. Because, see, Melanie's not seen, we've seen her mom a couple times the last few years, but her mom lives 1,000 miles away. So she's disconnected from her family. You know, her grandma's gone. She hasn't seen her mom in years. Now her stepdad's gone. And I look back and how God's got Melanie through that storm. She's even said, you know, I'm really amazed the peace God's given me. And see, that's a beautiful thing about God. He gives us that, and we need it the very most. When we, you ever picture something happening in your future? If you're like me, you're an overthinker, and you're the what-if person. What if that happened? Well, what if that happened? What if they did that? What if he did that? What if she did that? What if Joe? What if Gail? What if Sharon? What if Anna? What if? I'm the what-if person. I'm always thinking that. What if? It's hard to live in my world, church. It's tormenting. Melanie's totally opposite. I mean, she is you know, I'm the roadrunner. She's the grizzly bear in the wintertime. I'm going to bed for a few months. And I'm the roadrunner. You know, my ADD. We're totally opposite that way. And so I'm always thinking, what if? But I'm thankful that if the what if moment comes, that God is strong enough and big enough to give me what I need to get me through that what if moment. So take comfort from that. Many of you are going through some things right now. I know you are going through some battles in your home, your family, your life. Hang on and just keep moving forward. God's going to get you through it. I promise you, He's going to get you through it. He's faithful. Chad, you all come to get your do your song. We'll do that and close out this morning. I want to thank you for being with us this morning at Living Word. I want to thank you for your love you showed me this morning, your support. It means a lot.